From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccan, in spirit, because our guest super producer, Maya Cole, is on the ones and twos today. Give it up for her. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this stuff they don't want you to know. So check in, first things first.
Yeah. Catch up? Check in?
Well, yeah. So this week, you guys, I went to Chuck E. Cheese because my son turned 4 yesterday as we're recording this. And that robot casino was fabulous.
Wait, hang on. Sir, we're recording. Sir?
Sir?
Hello?
Sir?
What's going on in here? Hey.
Wait a second.
Oh, is this the podcast?
I feel like I
about
recognize
conspiracies.
Yeah,
that's adorable. I'm such a fan.
Wait.
I'm sorry. I'm John Hodgman. I used to be on television sometimes.
I thought I recognized you, Inspector.
That's right,
Judge John Hodgman.
I have a podcast as well. Yeah.
Were you the
side
PC?
Hustle.
You were the PC.
I don't know what you were talking about. Yeah. No, I was PC on the Apple ads, and I don't know what else on my resume. I've traveled all over the world. I've been in the upper echelons of fame, and I've been granted a lot of exclusive access to a lot of secret rooms and hidden parties and stuff that you're not supposed to know, but I do.
You didn't write a book about it, did you?
Yeah, I did, actually. It's called Medallion Status, but that's not why I'm here. I'm just I was just traveling through the secret tunnels on my way to secret world government event.
Of course.
And
like you do.
Yeah, I have a secret door right into your room here. So I thought I would just check in and say hi.
Oh,
because
well,
I hear you're talking about secret societies a little bit. So
yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
wow.
thanks for coming. I always wondered what that door was for.
Yeah, that just leads to the platform for the golden funicular that people of my status get to use.
Oh, dear God. This is some real deranged billionaire stuff,
yeah,
right?
Well, that is the character that I used to play on The Daily Show. But guys, it's just me. I mean, there is a secret door here, and I'm on my way to a secret meeting. But
okay,
it is just me, John Hodgman.
It's hard to tell.
Your friend.
The lines are blurring so much right now.
Host of the Judge John Hodgman podcast and author of the new book Medallion Status, True Stories from Secret Rooms, which has a portion in it. This is a book that's mostly about my job as a famous minor television personality and what happened after how unlikely and unusual it was that I should be on camera at all, the strange things that happened to me while I was there, and then what happened after I lost that job and panicked and started chasing a new kind of status as a Diamond Medallion member on the Delta.
Oh, wow.
Trying to become Diamond Medallion in the Delta Frequent Flyer program.
That's rarefied air.
I don't want to give away the story of the book, but I got it. I went diamond.
Full disclosure, John and I appeared on his dear friend Chuck Bryant's movie podcast earlier today, and I disclosed that I am approaching silver medallion status, and I was told that that is a trash status.
Some nonsense words came out of your head just then.
It's kind of,
as they say on Westworld, that doesn't look like anything to me.
Okay.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
Apparently, silver is a trash medallion.
You're hurting my ears with that.
You've got a
silver
work your way up, man.
So, how does that compare to just like a guy who just travels coach and doesn't have a medallion at all?
Well,
what does the medallion look like?
It's an imaginary medallion.
Okay, got it.
It is a dumb imaginary prize. Uh-huh. That I became obsessed with when my TV show was canceled,
right.
and I had stopped working on The Daily Show,
yeah.
and I wasn't on TV anymore. And as a lot of people do when their status starts to slip, whether you are losing a television job or you're aging out of your own job, or you're getting older as a parent and your kids don't think you're a celebrity anymore, or you're a member of the rural white working class and you feel that the privilege that is due to you is being taken away and therefore you vote for a particular president, people do irrational things when these status starts to slip.
What is this nonsense coming out of your
head? No. Is that too political
for you? That's a real silver medallion talk right there.
Is it going to freak people out? I don't know.
Not at all.
I think you hit this universal key though, and I want to hear more because – I myself, not being a Diamond Medallion member, have moved adjacent.
I would
to
see your name on the
books. You would know everyone. Yeah.
I'd get a little notification. There'd be a little ceremony.
What I do notice is they actually say,
by the way, I'm
name.
Not Diamond Medallion member anymore. I got it and I lost it, but that's another.
Well,
but
you can lose it?
The whole point.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, no. God. That's what makes it. So if you qualify for a certain medallion level, be it gold, be it platinum, be it diamond, those are the only ones.
Not silver.
Silver is a garbage medallion because it just is a taunt. It reminds you that you're the worst kind of medallion.
It's
better
to
be nothing than to be a silver medallion.
Wow.
Coming but they're hot. All imaginary prizes that you earn if you earn a certain amount of medallion qualifying miles through travel and credit card spending by the end of the year. Then you're locked in. But if you don't re-qualify the next year, then you drop down in status. And it's frightening.
High stakes.
It's a game. It's a sick, addictive video game. Now, you were saying I interrupted you.
Oh, no. See, it's true, though. I've moved adjacent in those circles, and they do say your name when you get on the plane, right?
That's what got me started.
We'd like to welcome, you know. Hey.
They say it over, like, the intercom?
Oh, yeah. It's a big to-do.
Before this TV show that I was on, I was the third best friend in this TV comedy called Married on FX that ran for two seasons, was great, and then, like all of television, got canceled. Mm. But when it was cooking, I was being flown across the country over and over and over and over again to work, and they were paying for my flight, and they were contractually obligated to pay me first class. So I was racking up the MQMs, the medallion qualifying miles. I didn't even know this was happening. I didn't even care. Until one day I was boarding a plane to go home and the gate agent says, as she scanned in my ticket, "Thank you, Mr. Hodgman."
Whoa.
No, for being gold.
Oh.
Thank you for being gold was so powerful. Like to an only child who exists, you know, who requires praise and acknowledgement like oxygen, like to be thanked for just for being, never mind for being gold. I mean, I always thought I was gold. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We all think we're gold or we hope we are gold or we worry that maybe we're not as gold as we think and that we're just tricking people. But then for someone to say, no, you're gold. You're gold.
Well, John, has your gold and then diamond and then gold again status allowed you in any rooms that most people would never, ever even dare to step or ever be allowed?
Well, you do get a membership to the Sky Clubs.
The lounges.
the secret societies of the air, which, you know, and it's like there's not a lot of human sacrifice going on in there. Hmm. They have some pretty good soups, I have to say. Their Thai chicken soup is pretty good.
I had Thai chicken soup for lunch today.
From the Delta Sky Club?
No, from soup.
Because you're in Atlanta.
Soup
this is
to ladle, farm to ladle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's good.
It was really good.
It's good.
I've never had Thai chicken soup.
See, the problem with the one that you had that made it less good than the ones you get in the Delta Sky Club is it was fresh.
Ah.
Probably was fresh.
It was.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The best – I'm going to – and I discuss in the book the greatest jambalaya that I've ever eaten came out of the crock pot. At the Delta Sky Club, it's at Louis Armstrong International Airport in New Orleans. The best jambalaya you could get, because all soups and stews deepen in flavor as they sit
for hours.
As they sit days. At a low temperature for hours and days, it just got to be so so delicious.
That sounds wow. good.
That Those sounds are some good. Secrets of the Sky Club. But I've also gotten into other secret rooms that I think might be more interesting to you, because I mentioned it earlier as though it were just a normal thing that someone would drop by Book and Snake, one of Yale's senior secret societies, for dinner of an evening. Oh. But apparently not everyone can do it.
Book and Snake. Yeah. I'm only familiar with Skull and Bones.
I have to leave now. Goodbye.
Oh, wait. John.
No, I'm not. So I went to Yale, which is an accredited four-year college in Southern Connecticut. And I was not a member of Skull and Bones. For people who don't know, but anyone that listens to this show has to know about the secret societies of Yale. There are senior societies. Yale was founded before there were frats, and so the young privileged men of Yale had to find other kinds forms of associations and clubs so that they could group off and basically jack off together. Before there were frats, you had secret societies at Yale, which are these senior secret societies where they initiate like 15 to 17 senior men to go into a windowless clubhouse called a tomb and tell secrets to each other and lie in coffins and hang out. Or you joined an a cappella group. There's so much a cappella. It's like the per capita amount of a cappella in New Haven is greater than anywhere else in the world. But what really troubles me is no one's doing anything about it. They're just letting it happen.
They're just letting it
hundreds of a cappella groups.
Running wild?
Running wild through the New Haven green.
I'm fascinated by the connective tissue between the two, if there's ever any secret a cappella groups.
Well, there probably is a little bit of overlap between the Skull and Bonesmen and the Whiff and Poofs, the premier a cappella group in the collegiate a cappella group in the United States and the world, which I was not a member of, but I'm still weirdly proud of that. But I was fascinated with secret rooms growing up in high school and secret societies and the Masons and Club 33 before everyone knew about it and all of these rooms. I always wanted to go into these rooms that you couldn't just walk into unless you were invited or whatever, mm-hmm. or had a golden funicular that could take you to a secret panel and jump into a podcast.
Or diamond medallion.
Diamond medallion, for example. And it's, you know, these arbitrary signs of status that don't make you a better person but make you feel suddenly like – you're loved by an institution or whatever. It's just – it's a sick addiction. Anyway. Basically, the reason I applied to Yale was that they had secret societies, Skull and Bones being the most famous one. Mm-hmm. The Skull and Bones being, you know, reputed to be the pipeline to Illuminati, super status, secret world government control.
The diamond medallion of conspiracy.
The diamond medallion is like Yale Skull and Bones. That's the top. Like, you know, oh, I'm sorry. You just went to the Bilderberg group once? No. This is Skull and Bones now.
And was that an actual secret society? The snake – what was it?
Book and Snake.
Book and Snake.
Is an actual one. Yep. Oh. They're across the street from the Grove Cemetery in New Haven in a giant – 2.5-story limestone Greek Revival, architecturally significant edifice that has zero windows. It looks like a tomb. They're called tombs. All of these secret societies at Yale were all founded by very wealthy young men. They had their dads, architects, make them these clubhouses. They're all littered throughout campus. You'll be walking along. You're like, there's a very handsome looking and important looking library. Oh, why does it have no windows? Because it's a clubhouse for dum-dums. clubhouse for secret weirdos.
So set the scene. Were they all robed up? I mean, what was going on?
Like, well, there's a limit to what I can reveal here.
Oh, I see.
Wait a second.
There's also Scroll and Key. I just want to tell you the other ones. Yeah. Wolf's Head, Scroll and Key, Brazellus, Manuscript, Skull and Bones, Book and Snake. Those are the biggins.
I like the ones that sound like combos, you know, Skull mm-hmm. and Bones.
Yeah, no, that's –
you know,
there was a cross end key once, or there may be a cross end key now. But you want to get the big ones all are blank and blanks.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe we should start something like that, right? It's 2019. Yeah. We start the blank and blanks.
The bags and badgers?
Sure. Yeah.
But to answer your question, no, yeah. they don't wear robes.
No.
And I know this because when I was a fresh person at Yale, I got invited to a party at Book and Snake. And I was very, very excited. This was a new – like this is the reason I had come here and here it is, first semester. And I got so excited that I drank a lot before going to the party. And then I went into the party and then I went up to the top of the stairs and then I fell down the stairs. And then I woke up in the hospital.
Wow.
And I know that all of that happened because it was told to me that it happened. But my only memory is walking up to the door. And that's the last thing I remember.
Oh, wow.
Until – and so it gnawed at me for the rest of my life. First of all, let me give some advice to college students. Don't get drunk and fall down the stairs.
No.
You're not immortal.
Yeah.
I'm very, very lucky that I didn't hurt myself.
Oh, yeah.
don't do it.
So to be fair, you don't know if they were robed up or not because you were unconscious.
But I had blacked out.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Now, there are certain people who attended Yale – and may or may not be sitting on the Supreme Court now who believe that blacking out is not a thing that happens.
Oh, well,
I can tell you.
Yeah.
I can think of one.
The FBI did a whole impression of an investigation.
They
right?
did. They did. They did the. They did the Illuminati investigation.
It was a great bit. It was a great bit.
It was a nothing to see here investigation.
Are you 100% positive you didn't get initiated that night, and that was part of it?
I had no idea. I mean, I had friends who were there. One of whom, Jonathan Colton, is a musician. And
oh yes,
a dear friend still, and a Whiff and Poof, by the way, the most prestigious collegiate a cappella group in the world. That's right. I'm friends with a Whiff and Poof. I'm bragging.
Yeah.
Is that sort of like Hufflepuff? No.
I mean, it's all nonsense words.
Got it.
Yeah. Anyway, he was there. He said he saw me in there. I knew that I had been in there. It's an unnerving thing to have a memory that you cannot recall. Mm. And especially when you were going into the secret society that you wanted to see so badly.
Yeah.
And you realize that those secret societies are pretty powerful. They know how to erase a mind. Like they took that memory right out of my head.
And you might be a legend to them. They might be hanging out and they're like, oh man, you remember Stairs guy?
Well,
he was wild.
I don't know how much they thought about me for years and years and years.
Until you showed up on TV.
And I don't think they thought about me then either. I think they started thinking about me once I started like telling this story in public. And I included it in a book and I wrote about it online. And I got a call from co-signed by a man and a woman, both members of Book and Snake. I won't reveal their names. We'll call them Booker and Snakia.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And they said, I'm sorry this has been haunting you for so long. We have a dinner every Thursday. We often invite interesting people to join us. Do you want to have dinner with us? And I was like, yeah, I do. And I was really excited to go back and see what I had seen but couldn't remember having seen. And I'll tell you this much. And there's more in the book. They're all very nice. No robes. The secrets of the secret society are these. If you're invited to a secret society at Yale for dinner and you arrive to the dining room 15 minutes late, all the spanakopita will be gone. They serve – there was a veal and a fish. The dining room is in the basement, red leather chairs, all with an Ouroboros and a book inscribed on the back. You get to meet with 17 bright young people, now men and women. I think Book and Snake particularly has been much more diverse than some of the others. There will be a chaperone there, an older alum to make sure that things don't get out of hand. Secret of the Secret Society at Yale, wine and beer only.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then there are some alums might come and have dinner with you too, some more recent alums of Book and Snake / Yale. So there's a guy named James there who I think was in his early 30s, and he had just told me that he had been named – he works for the city government. He's the transportation czar of New Haven. So I just want to say to any Alex Jones listeners out there, if you were worried that the Illuminati and secret societies might be controlling the bus and train schedules in certain southern Connecticut towns, you're absolutely right.
Dear God.
Secret societies are running the trains in southern Connecticut.
Oh my God.
You know, here in Atlanta, we would kill for some secret society involvement in transit.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Let the czar know.
Yeah. Let me tell James. I think I have his last name somewhere.
Oh, God.
And then the chaperone will leave because he's got to go home. Oh, everyone sings a little song. I don't remember how it goes. Chaperone leaves. And then the young people say, you want to hang out some more? And I'm like, sure. And you'll go up to a chill room that looks exactly like a college dorm room, except no windows. And then they'll reach over to a little captain's chest in the corner. And I don't want to narc on these kids, but can you guess what was in it?
Yep.
Hard alcohol.
Yeah. Oh.
They are hiding it from their own member.
Because they're still college students.
I know. I was initiated into a secret society within the secret society.
Yes.
Oh, fabulous.
It was great. But I'll tell you one other thing. Sorry, follow-up questions?
Oh, I was just going to say, are you okay with disclosing this?
Well, obviously I'm doing it.
Sure.
Why? Are you threatening and or offering to murder me?
No. We're looking out for your personal safety. Quite the opposite.
No. Book and Snake invite they've been inviting me into their clubhouse for years. Started when I was a freshman in college.
You're embedded.
Yeah, but I mean they're chill. They and in fact, one you know they thought it was they thought the story was funny. These secret societies don't control the universe. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on at Skull and Bones. I knew a guy who was in Skull and Bones, and he was like, "We just sit around. You know, we have dinner." He was a member of the class that was the first to admit women to tap women to join the next year's class, and the alumni got so furious that they were trying to make Skull and Bones co-educational that the alumni members came and changed the locks on the tomb to lock them out of their own clubhouse.
Wow!
So these are old institutions that are obviously weird, crusty monuments to a certain kind of privilege, but as far as I could tell, inside Book and Snake, it's just young. Interesting young people who have been given this opportunity to play in a windowless building for a while and be friends.
You know, I don't know how serious we want to get with this, but there is something worth exploring that we've talked about before on this show, where we had one election where I believe it was George W. Bush and
John
Kerry, who were both members
of Skull and Bones,
yeah. and just that concept. But again, if you really break it down, it's like there are two members of the same fraternity, running together. But I think the nomenclature, the title of having it a secret society,
right,
creates that anxiety within me a little bit, but
well,
you know, the public.
Of course. I mean, if you don't have Diamond Medallion and you're not in that Sky Club, you're wondering what's going on behind those doors. Something freaky is happening. People are actually being treated like human beings in there out here.
I think that's a very good point.
But I'll say something else that's true is that obviously if you go to an elite college or institution like Yale or many others, already you're forging contacts with people who, you know, statistically are, if not likely, that's you'll probably know some people who are pretty powerful. You know, as you look, I became a literary agent, then a service journalist, and now I'm a carnival jester. You know, I'm nothing. I don't have any power, but I definitely know people. You know, I remember people from college who are now in positions of power. Samantha Power, for example, the former ambassador to the UN, not only powerful but named Power. It's her name. She and I were at college at the same time. I didn't know her, but
sure.
But you know, these institutions do self-select into groupings, and whether or not, and then if you super-select into something like a secret society, you know. There is a kind of soft conspiracy of acquaintanceship and giving people a leg up if possible. And it happens in networks of any kind, you know, whatever kind of trappings they have.
Churches, I mean, that's a big one too.
Yeah, exactly. But sure. But that said, there is a secret retreat that I attended that I will not name, that is also described in the book. It is a retreat that I was surprised to be invited to, hosted by someone who enjoys surrounding him or herself with interesting celebrities, business leaders, government officials, former government officials, entertainers, writers, artists. It's a wonderful time. Mm-hmm. We all have a great time together. It's all off the record. People aren't supposed to talk about what happened there.
No weaving spiders allowed there?
No weaving spiders.
Oh, so it wasn't the Bohemian Club?
No, it was not the Bohemian Grove. No, that's not. I would tell you if I got in that dump. This is a thing that I want to go back to.
Okay.
Yeah. It's totally benign, right? And of an evening, they might invite someone, like, gather everyone together for a performance of a kind. And this performance was a professional performing pickpocket, an incredibly talented performing pickpocket. Wow. Who I'll name because he's an amazing person. Apollo Robbins is his name.
Apollo Robbins.
Look him up. He is so skilled. And his bit was inviting audience members on stage and picking their pockets. And he would invite famous people, entertainers or whatever, up and and talk to them and say, well, did you have your breakfast today? And you wouldn't even see him touch them, and all of a sudden he's holding their wristwatch above their head behind them, and they didn't know it was gone, but the audience sees it, right? And everyone laughs, and the famous person laughs, because it's okay to – it's okay to be humiliated a little bit in public, right? Mm-hmm. If you're secure, it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. But there is one government official who would not play. He would not get up on stage. He or she, I should say. Mm-hmm. They would not get up on stage. They would not allow themselves to be pickpocketed or to have their wristwatch taken, because they could not, for whatever reason – I'd be speculating to guess what it was. They could not tolerate having their status reduced, because they're between their status and status was the only thing that stood between them and oblivion, basically.
Mm. Wow.
And this person
went on to become president?
This person – no. This person was a former government official. Mm. There's no point in trying to figure out who it is.
Understood.
That's not the story. This is a parable. Do you understand?
I'm with you.
This is a parable – about someone who had done some very good things in public life and had made a big mistake in public life and could not tolerate even – never mind the mention of that big mistake, but even the faintest slap of the wrist of having their wristwatch literally manipulated off their wrist in public. It would be too humiliating. And they hid their money in their shoe so that they wouldn't have their money – their wallet pickpocketed.
Wow.
And, you know, when people lose their status or perceive or feel a threat to their status, they will do irrational things. That's not the moral of this story. The moral of this story is that this happened to – meeting happened to be held in a Masonic lodge. It was not a Masonic meeting. The Masons – it's a beautiful lodge and a grand meeting room, and it was one of the nicer rooms in this particular town where you could go to have an event like this. And the Masons are out of money and they needed to rent it to this. But nonetheless, I sat there realizing, so here I am. Here's one of the most famous actors in the world. Here's this incredible business – like most famous businessman in the world. Here's this former government official. There's George R. R. Martin. I'll out him too. There's this famous person and that famous person and this powerful person and this powerful person, and we're all here. We are literally all here together, literally meeting in secret, literally in a Masonic lodge. This is happening right now.
Watching the art of pickpocketing.
Watching the art of pickpocketing. But if you go tell that to Alex Jones, I mean, his heart's about to explode anyway because it's full,
yeah,
because it's full of brisket juice or whatever.
Right.
But you know, it's the Illuminati is real. The Illuminati is real. Like, secret meetings of world leaders are happening in Masonic lodges. We're not discussing how, you know, how to manipulate, you know, how to manipulate governments into war to form a one world government or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We're basically just entertaining ourselves.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. The Illuminati is real and interminably dull.
I thought you needed to know that.
And the conversation behind closed doors is more like, have you tried that jambalaya at the Sky Club?
Yeah.
Because I think it's because they let it sit.
Right. Well, it's all – and the conversation behind doors is all people just trying to get jobs off of each other because they're afraid their status is slipping too. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I do have one question just really fast. Mm. Were you allowed in the time that this occurred, did you have a cell phone with a camera on it? Because I'm imagining a room of you know, with people of that caliber in secret doing a thing like that at a retreat. I'm assuming you would put cell phones away, or you'd have to mandatorily put away cameras and things.
No, there were no rules about – I mean, people were like, you know, don't tweet about this.
That certainly. Kind
of, it was low key. Mm. I mean, I'm hoping it was fairly low key because I'm telling the story. I'm not revealing details. Mm. I'm afraid they'll be mad at me. But I suspect they won't read my book.
And you want to go back.
Though. What?
Yeah. And you want to go back.
Yeah, I'd like to be invited again. And it was fascinating. It was interesting.
Yeah. And the book is fascinating as well.
Thank you.
John Hodgman, Medallion Status, True Stories from Secret Rooms. It's available now. Wherever you
For pre-order, I believe.
Right? For pre-order, right?
Look, I don't know when this is coming out, so let's just talk to the time travelers. Time travelers, if you have arrived in this timeline before October 19th, 2019, you may pre-order my book at bit.ly/medallionstatus, bit.ly/medallionstatus, all one word, all capital letters. If you have materialized after October 15th, 2019, it's not too late. Go to a bookstore. and buy it, or come see me on my book tour. I'm on tour in October and November, and all the details are there, johnhodgman.com/tour. And I'll be in Atlanta in November, along with my Judge John Hodgman podcast in November, too, at the Variety. So I hope to see you guys again.
Who will – do you have a bailiff for that show?
Yeah, Jesse Thorne, my regular bailiff, is going to be there. So
awesome. Yeah.
And I will be selling books there. And, you know, because I don't want to punish people who pre-order, who then come to the book events, because some of the book events you have to buy a book to get in. Mm. Some of them, you know, they might leave the book at home and buy another one. I don't want to, you know, I really hope that people will pre-order the book, because that's the best way to ensure a best launch for the book, personally, for me. But in order to reward people who do pre-order and then come to the book event, anyone who comes into the signing line, whether it's a Judge John Hodgman show or a regular Medallion Status book event, and they have two copies of the book, that could be a hardcover and an audiobook, or a hardcover and an ebook, because they've pre-ordered or for whatever reason, I have a special loyalty program reward for them.
Oh.
Wait a second.
Yeah. You may notice that on the cover of the book, there is a picture of two famous corgis of Instagram, mm-hmm. Linus the Corgi and Chompers the Corgi. They're very important in the book.
Yeah, we're looking at a pamphlet here.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, there's a whole book coming right now. That's just a promotion.
Well, this part's great.
So everyone who comes to a book event and buys a copy of the book mm-hmm. gets a enamel pin featuring one of those corgis designed by Aaron Draplin, the designer of the cover. He's a famous and great, awesome dude designer. And that is a famous corgi pin. Everyone gets one of those just for showing up and buying a book. If you buy two books because maybe you pre-ordered one before coming to the event mm-hmm. or you buy two books on site or you bought an audiobook and now you get in the print edition, whatever it is. You got two books in the signing line, you get upgraded, you get a double corgi pin.
Whoa. Oh.
Three or more books
yeah.
or other over-the-top commitments to the cause, I'll upgrade you discretionarily to triple corgi elite status for three corgis, one pin.
So since we're on an audio podcast, listeners, you need to know that when John said that, the three of us had, I think, a fairly dramatic
it was a head
double take.
Kind of moment,
yeah. And what are they? They're pins. They're pins like you get from an airplane pilot for going on a plane for being a kid. They're nothing.
But they're elite. And as an adult, if you ask the pilots for the pins, they'll still give it to you.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wonderful.
You just have to ask nicely and clearly not have that much respect for yourself. That's what I did.
Even if I'm silver?
I have to go.
You guys,
open the secret door. I'm getting out of here.
I'm
goodbye.
Not even silver yet.
Stop showing
I'm
it to
me. I'm approaching silver, barely.
It was going so well.
So sad.
My eyes.
God, I feel so bad about myself.
John Hodgman, that really happened. He's really – we have a door.
He disappeared down in the tunnel kind of.
Yeah.
I think that went well.
I think so,
too. That was incredible. Okay. I want to say I think he knows more than he's letting on, but he was a very nice guy.
That's true.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.